on Ways and Means. Appreciate all of you being here in such a timely fashion.
I'm in the Senate now.
And now that everyone's paying attention, Representative Patrick has arrived, and we're going to begin with budget bills reported out of subcommittee.
Get out of here.
Open work Thank session, House Bill 5045, recognized Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5045 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Police. This agency has a wide set of responsibilities, including law enforcement through patrol, criminal investigation, fish and wildlife, and the forensics divisions. It is the responsibility of emergency planning and response for the Office of Emergency Management, and the State Fire Marshal provides coordination of other services for fire safety. The recommended general fund budget for this agency is $166.9 million, a 1.8% decrease from the governor's budget. The total funds budget is $412.6 million, a 5.5% increase from the governor's budget. The total number of FTE grows by 7.1% over the number in the governor's budget, but is still 20% lower than the number in the budget passed by the 01 legislature. The subcommittee was able to make a number of crucial restorations of positions and other resources not in the governor's budget. These include 53 forensics and implied consent positions, which provide sufficient resources to keep a viable forensics lab system, 10 fish and wildlife troopers, including the restoration of the commercial fisheries program, five positions for tobacco compliance task force, 11 positions in identification services, uniform crime reporting and information systems, and capital outlay resources for the forensics lab systems and wireless communications. To fund these restorations, the subcommittee identified savings in services and supplies, matching the needs for resources with the number of staff after the layoffs from earlier this year. Changing the funding mix from some rent payments in the field and from some standard reductions for merits, inflation, and vacancy savings. Resources were also made available from the Natural Resources Subcommittee.
You're giving us a pony.
This is a big
paper, I'd say.
So I'll cut to the chase. There was a question about 911 money that was in this budget. The 911 level that was approved within this budget is that which was approved, that which was forecasted by the Oregon Office of Emergency Management to fund the 911 offices, and the budget for the Office of State Fire Marshal relies on the fee increases we passed out of our committee yesterday. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5045 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion?
Representative Morgan.
Well, this is kind of a side issue, Mr. Chair, but I noticed that the good representative from Medford has a number of ponies to carry today, and I'm wondering if there are any spare sunglasses around so that when we have to look at it, sure.
Is there any other discussion? Representative Bates?
I just like the good representative from Medford. I appreciate the statements about the 911 situation. I know it's somewhat volatile yet to a certain degree, and I appreciate him making the statements he did. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is actually of staff, and I think the good representative was about to get there before we cut the tail off his pony, because I heard him at the Natural Resources Committee. The money that went from the Natural Resources Committee to the Public Safety Committee for those fish and game officers for the commercial fishing folks, we had a lot of discussion in Natural Resources Subcommittee about putting enough firewalls around it that is the only thing for which it could be used. And I just want to double check and make sure all those firewalls are in place.
Mr. Chair, there would be at least two formal or informal firewalls. First of all, the bill has been reconstructed from what the bill was submitted originally, so Fish and Wildlife has a separate line in the appropriations bill. And second of all, the budget report does state that those are actually lottery funds coming this way, so they are stated in the budget report that they're for that purpose. And as always, we will monitor that.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Just so briefly, Representative Krieger.
I wanted to thank the representative for the work that he did on this bill, and Senator Dukes and Senator Mesley. The commercial fish positions are going to mean a lot more to the coast and that industry than probably a lot of people realized. And it was a priority for everybody on the committee. So thank you.
Representative Patrick.
Just a real brief comment before we close. I will expect, though, that ODF&W, when they contract with OSP,
to set the standards for those particular positions. I think that that would be helpful to hire the experienced officers that need to be hired. And they can do that through a contract when they sign the contract with ODF&W for these funds. So I just put that in for the record.
And I'd just say thank you for your work on this to the subcommittee, because you took what was pretty much an extraordinary budget effort last year by the subcommittee, comprised of some just brilliant members.
And outstanding and brilliant.
Which included Representative Hansen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it brought to us a fine product. Is there any objection to the recommendation the bill be reported out with the dash one amendment to the House? Hearing and seeing no objection, it is agreed to. Open a work session, House Bill 5046. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5046 ratifies fees increased by the state fire marshal through the administrative process. The SB 333 process requires agencies to return to the legislature to ratify a fee increase that had been increased in the past and approved by the Department of Administrative Services. The fees included in this measure are for the explosives, fireworks, and liquid petroleum gas programs. These fees are already in effect, and the revenue generated from the increase is assumed in the state fire marshal's budget for 2003-2005. Because of the falling revenues for the fire insurance premium tax, these programs have had to rely more on fee revenue. The Public Safety Committee recommends House Bill 2248, as amended, be reported out and passed.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Is there discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Open up a work session, House Bill 5049. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5049 is the budget bill for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. This agency is responsible for the certification and training of law enforcement officers. The recommended budget for this agency is $23.5 million total funds, an 11% increase from the governor's budget. There are 91.25 FTE in the subcommittee's recommended budget, a decrease of almost 17% from the budget passed by the 01 legislature. The budget reflects a continued construction of the new public safety training facility in Salem. An additional $1.6 million for debt service is included in the budget, so over $68 million of COPs can be issued in the next 2 years. Over $1 million of this debt service will be capitalized in the 03-05 budget. The subcommittee budget also includes an additional $400,000 for the Public Safety Memorial Fund over the amount in the governor's budget. Resources for fire training were increased based on the passage of House Bill 3051, which provided replacement funding for the fire industry fire insurance premium tax. Restoration of resources in the private security program assumes an industry-supported fee increase. The Public Safety Committee recommends House Bill 5049 be amended and reported out and due pass.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Is there discussion? Is there an objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Senate Bill 5512, open a work session. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5512A is the budget bill for the Council on Court Procedures. This is one of the commissions that we have suspended during the interim. They have traditionally received $8,000 from the Oregon State Bar Association in order to reimburse their members for travel expenses. At this point in time, we, because of the work that Council on Court Procedures is able to provide in terms of doing very highly technical adjustments to our Code of Civil Procedure in the state of Oregon, the Oregon State Bar has stepped forward to provide $8,000 per biennium and other funds to provide the travel. The executive director for this commission, I believe now is a retired professor from U of O, but was a professor at U of O who has agreed to volunteer his services, as well as the members picking up some of the administrative and secretarial types of types of items. Consequently, we are not funding the $103,396 in general fund savings that we are realizing as a result of not funding those. We'd recommend the passage of 5512 amended.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Is there Discussion? Is there an objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed. Open up a work session, Senate Bill 5525, Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5525 is the Department of Justice budget bill. The department is in charge of the state's legal business and in any business that requires an attorney. It provides legal counsel to all of our state agencies and represents the state's interest in court. It also is responsible for a variety of programs, including child support enforcement, crime victims assistance, and consumer protection. The recommended budget for this agency is $31.8 million general fund, which is 13.9% less than the governor's budget, and $263.2 million total funds, which is 3.7% less than the governor's budget. There are 1,186.71 FTE in the subcommittee's recommended budget. This budget also, you may see, reflects a transfer of the child support program from the Department of Human Services, which accounts for a significant increase in this agency's general fund from the previous budget periods. The budget also reflects the decrease in the attorney rate from 109 assumed in the governor's budget to 98 in the subcommittee's budget, which is a savings of over $1.1 million in general fund in this agency alone. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5525 be amended and reported out and do pass as amended, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 155. Senator Gordley.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 155 allows the Board of Psychologist Examiners to renew licenses on other than an annual basis, and to allow a licensed psychologist to delegate to a technician the administering and scoring of tests. The Board of Psychologist Examiners currently renews licenses annually in the month of December. The Board is considering two renewal options. One, a biennial review of licenses, which will reduce staff workload and ease the regulatory burden on licensees. And two, license renewal on a licensee's birth date. Pardon me. The Board of Psychologist Examiners currently recognizes the legitimate use of technicians, but believes that new statutory provisions are needed to define the qualification, training, and supervision of individuals providing such services for a psychologist. Senate Bill 155 would allow the Board to create administrative rules defining the parameters of delegation to technicians within the practice of psychology. The bill has a modest fiscal impact that can be absorbed within existing resources. Your Subcommittee on Education recommends the bill be reported out to pass.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered. Open a work session. Senate Bill 302. Representative Patridge.
Thank you,
Mr. Co-Chair. The resplendent day wear of the Public Safety Subcommittee, at least on the House side, we appreciate
it. We can get Representative Krieger to take that jacket off.
We've asked him not to.
Yes, Representative Smith.
I would just like to let Representative Krieger know that Hawaiian shirt with a winter tweed jacket may have a contest.
Hawaiian GQ.
Is it?
Hawaiian GQ.
Okay, Representative Patrick, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Splendor.
Senate Bill 302 requires the entry of a guilty or no contest plea to the charge of driving under the influence of intoxicants as a condition for entry into a diversion program. The defendant must also pay court-appointed attorney's fees. The court will not enter into a conviction if the defendant successfully completes the diversion. There is a potential fiscal impact from the bill. However, the actual impact, including the cost for public defense or prosecution savings, is indeterminate. The subcommittee indicated that if the cumulative impact of this and other bills passed this session appears to require general fund resources, the affected agencies could seek these resources in an end-of-session bill. Your subcommittee on public safety recommends moving the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. House Bill 2095, Representative Hatridge.
Thank you. I think Representative Butler was supposed to carry some of these.
Sure.
Can I just ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
He didn't have
yes,
the Hawaiian
shirt. Senator Carter.
He didn't have the Hawaiian shirt.
Are there other members of this committee? I just said it.
We'll see when we get down to it. Another bill that's coming.
Go ahead.
All right. House Bill 2095 changes state law relating to child support orders to meet new federal requirements. Current federal regulations require child support orders to require obligors to provide health care coverage for the child under a health benefit plan if available through the employer or union. Employers or unions who have health plans will be required to withhold the obligor's contribution to that health plan. Failure to meet this requirement may result in a loss of federal funds for the Child Support Enforcement Program administered by the Department of Justice. The federal government generally pays for two-thirds of the program cost. The state could also be further penalized by reductions in the Temporary Assistance to Needy Children Program administered by the Department of Human Services. This increased cost resulting from this bill have been incorporated into the Department of Justice's budget. Savings in the health plan and children's health insurance program are also anticipated. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2095 be reported out to pass.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the motion is agreed to. House Bill 2172.
Did I do that right?
Did I skip one?
No,
that's right. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Hey,
well, oh, another day other than Patrick.
Somebody new. We're so excited.
House Bill.
This is another cow flatulence bill or something.
House Bill 2172 provides the Public Employees Benefit Board with the administrative language needed to administer a self-insured program in the future. The bill came from the House Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs. It passed unanimously. The Public Employees Benefit Board is looking at alternative methods of providing cost-effective health care plans to state employees. One of the methods being considered is through self-insurance. The board has statutory authority to provide such a plan, and this bill helps it through provision of needed administrative language, such as allowing payroll deduction for a self-insurance program. Your subcommittee is aware of the pressing issues surrounding the employee health benefit plans and costs, and is supportive of legislation that would help the state contain these costs. This bill is such legislation, and your general government subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2172.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Is there a discussion?
Are you pointing, or you want recognition?
Just a quick statement.
Yes.
Many corporations have gone to self-insurance because of the skyrocketing cost of health insurance, and I'm glad to see this coming forward. I hope it'll follow through with the interim committee or a discussion to bring it forward to the next session. It's a tremendous way of curtailing the skyrocketing cost of health care.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. House Bill 2179, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2179A transfers responsibility for maintaining the Natural Heritage Data Bank from the Division of State Lands to the Institute for Natural Resources at Oregon State University. Oregon State University has been fulfilling this responsibility since June of 2002 by interagency agreement. Funding the data bank maintenance is included in the governor's budget for Oregon State University. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2179A be reported out, due pass.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Are there questions, discussion? Is there an objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Should also point out that the staff is kind of with it today, as I see Dallas and Cindy out there. Now that, they got it together. And Dallas doesn't always have it together.
Hey, Chair Miller, as a point of observation.
Representative Smith?
I noticed we were giving heck to Representative Krieger, but there must be something in the water because Senator Messerly also has a Hawaiian shirt with his jacket on.
Oh, my gosh.
It's regional, I guess.
Oh. Usually so overshadowed by Senators Carter, Gordon, Schultz, Winters. Some people have rallied today.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, House Bill 2248. Speaking of gas, Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As as a minority member of a committee, it's important that you don't try and overshadow your chair. And, so, and appear too colorful, more colorful than the chair. And fortunately today, my chair has given me a great deal of latitude, raised the bar significantly, and still allowed me to slip under it. House Bill 2248 raises fees relating to liquid petroleum gas. These fees are required to keep this program viable. In the past, revenue from the fire insurance premium tax was used to fund this program. But these revenues have dropped significantly in the past year. Approval of this bill will make this program essentially fee-based, supported by the industry that it serves. Fees increased by this measure include those related to examination, inspection, notification, installation, and plan review. Budget for the state fire marshal assumes passage of this measure. The subcommittee recommends an amendment to clarify the licensing requirements for persons certified by the Board of Boiler Rules. The industry testified in support of the fee increases in this measure. The Public Safety Committee recommends HB 2248, as amended, be reported out with the due pass.
Thank you, Representative Hanson. Is there discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. House Bill 3322, Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3322 eliminates the one-week waiting period for apprentices before they receive unemployment benefits. Currently, there is a one-week waiting period for apprentices before they can receive unemployment benefits. Federal law allows the states to waive the one-week requirement for individuals who are enrolled in apprenticeship programs and who are attending training for that week. House Bill 3322 allows the individual to receive unemployment benefits without waiting the required 1 week while attending the apprentice classes. The bill has a modest fiscal impact, which has been absorbed within existing resources. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of this measure.
Thank you, Senator George. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. House Bill 3597, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This happens to be a Tom Butler bill that he was going to carry, but we are, because he took his hat off on the House floor when the OIA budget passed.
Oh, my gosh.
We think he's been spirited away somewhere today. Anyway, House Bill 3597 is the General Government Subcommittee brought you this bill, which is the second bill that implements the suspension of the Capital Planning Commission in the 03-05 biennium. It temporarily directs the Commission to not meet for the purposes of review and approval of state agency capital development and facility proposals and the area plan revisions. The bill also temporarily assigns the Commission's jurisdiction for the executive residence to the Department of Administrative Services. It gives the Department of Administrative Services the authority to make certain payments, vacation accrual, unemployment compensation, and any further unanticipated expenses on behalf of the Commission in the 01-03 biennium. An other funds limitation of $36,630 is given to DAS for this purpose. The subcommittee recommends the adoption of a budget note that directs the Department of Administrative Services to fully implement the Capital Projects Advisory Board public processes, including board member appointments with public representation, comply with the open meetings laws, and provide a website that gives information about the board and its meetings and any minutes, findings, recommendations, or reports. The subcommittee acknowledged that the Capital Projects Advisory Board does not have the same statutory authorities of the Capital Planning Commission, but it is intended that the Capital Projects Advisory Board be the means for the airing of public concerns on proposed projects during this biennium. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 3597 be amended and be reported out, do pass as amended.
Is there discussion? Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had indicated to both the chair of the subcommittee and the co-chair that had to come in for another member at that time that I was providing a courtesy vote so that the bill could come out of committee and that I would be voting no when the bill came to the full committee. I'm still voting no and still voting no for the same reasons. Well, I believe that the budget for the commission could be reduced and reduced substantially. It's approximately $300,000. I believe it could probably be reduced by a third to a half and still fulfill the functions of the commission. I believe that a commission that has existed for 50 years deserves some evaluation before it is suspended. I also believe that the commission has some special relationship to the state and the people, of particularly the city of Salem, in terms of the extensive impact of city facilities or state facilities in this city. I also believe that the Department of Administrative Services advisory body literally is put together as a group of facilities manager and lacks any expertise in land use or urban design, and also is not a body that is composed of any elected officials either from the state or from local bodies. And so I'll remain opposed to the measure.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion?
Thank you, Senator Winters. Oh, that wasn't Winters. I'm sorry.
Senator Winters, were you?
I couldn't say it any better. And I did not vote without a committee, and I will be a no vote today.
Further discussion? If not, are there other objections that wish to be recorded? Senator Gordley, Senator Winters.
Not me, but you know when.
Senator Devlin, Representative Hansen, Representative Bates. If there are no further objections, the motion passes. All right. Other business to come before the committee. Senator Winters, Department of Administrative Services, Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, your General Government Subcommittee recommends the approval of submission of a grant application to the Health Research Services Administration for $150,000 in additional funds on an existing federal grant. The Department of Administrative Services Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research currently has a grant from the Health Research Services Administration to help Oregon identify the most effective methods for providing access to insurance coverage for those currently uninsured. This grant will expire in the fall. HRSA is now making available an additional $150,000 in conjunction with the existing grant to allow the Oregon Health Policy and Research to continue to enhance and refine that work. Yeah. These grant dollars will allow OHPR to work with the Insurance Pool Governing Board to assist the Family Health Insurance Program in reaching enrollment targets. In addition, it will allow OHPR to work with the Department of Human Services and community groups to minimize the numbers of individuals dropped from coverage. Funds would be used to pay for contract services and extension of an existing limited duration position. The grant will be awarded late September 2003. If the department receives the grant, it will return to the emergency board for necessary expenditure limitation. Your subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application. And I also would like to say my apologies for being late to committee this morning, but I was over at Willana talking to some young students who were wanting to know what we did in this building. And I didn't tell them all, but we did tell them some.
Did they give you a wild?
They obviously didn't take that one.
Huh? Ovation, standing ovation.
They gave me a standing ovation.
Were there any chairs in the room?
There were no chairs.
That's a key. Yes, Senator Carter.
Question, Senator Winters.
Absolutely.
And how much did you pay them for that?
Just a second.
Other question? Oh, you're going to the purse. My goodness. Oh.
Now, it was just the reverse. And really? This is, when we talk about young minds, I want you to
know. I went too far, Mr. Chairman.
At what point did you lose?
Representative G. Smith, do you want to go get the perspectives on the last that you read in the House chamber this morning? Maybe bring that into this discussion?
These are the young writers. This is the young writers' camp, just so that you know.
Are there any other reasons that you have to recommend the approval of this request?
It was written well.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Department of Human Services Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The subcommittee recommends the approval of submission of a grant application
to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of $500,000 being awarded for 5 years. The purpose of the grant is to assist states in addressing child care issues raised during the Child and Family Services Review. The initial grant award will be for 12 months with continued funding subject to availability of funds, satisfactory progress of the grantee, and a determination that continued funding would be in the best interest of government. There are no matching fund requirements, and if awarded, the funds will be used to help the department individualize services to children and families in all aspects of service planning and system accountability. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the recommendation? Hearing seeing none, it is agreed to. Department of Human Services, Representative T. Smith.
The subcommittee recommends the approval of submission of a grant application to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of up to $200,000 the first year, with subsequent continuation grants of up to $500,000 per year. The purpose of the grant is to help reduce medical errors in health care settings and improve patient safety. The Oregon Healthcare Association is co-sponsoring the project and securing commitments of staff time from nursing homes and assisted living facilities to meet a 50% cost-sharing requirement of the grant. There are no matching fund requirements. If awarded, the funds will be used to fund the development of probability risk assessment models to address adverse medication delivery systems in Oregon long-term care facilities, identify ways to reduce patient safety risks associated with prescribing, preparing, and delivering medication, and help long-term care facilities across the state implement medication risk processes and periodically update them. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application.
Is there a discussion of the recommendation? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the recommendation is approved. Any further business to come before the sub or before the full committee? If not, we are adjourned. Thank you.